This morning on the Acoustic Brunch, it is an absolute honor to welcome, it may not be well known in America, but Paul Kelly has really achieved huge success in his homeland of Australia. Welcome to Studio A2, Paul.
Thanks, John. Good morning.
It's a pleasure to meet you. I would like to introduce you by stealing a little bit from your websites to my listeners. I've been playing your music recently because of your recent show at the Magic Bag. I'd like to steal, like I said, from the website. He's been acknowledged as one of Australia's best singer-songwriters, winner of 10 awards from the Australian Recording Industry Association, including an induction into the Hall of Fame in 1997. His song, To Her Door, was named in the top 30 best Australian songs of all time, as well as one that you co-wrote. So, again, while you may not be a household name in America, we don't know why, there is huge, huge respect for you in your homeland. So it is, like I said, truly an honor for me to have you here with me this morning.
Our pleasure.
How often do you actually come to America to perform? It doesn't seem like that often.
I try to get here every couple of years. We're here earlier in May. I came with Charlie Owen, a guitar player that I did a record with, and my daughter's last trip, and we were playing songs from records that I put out last year. And before that, I think it was 2013. But try to get here every couple of years.
All right. Well, it's a pleasure to have you. And the new album is called Life is Fine. Would you like to do a song from that?
Yeah, we're going to play a song called Letter in the Rain.
All right. Paul Kelly in Studio A2 on Ann Arbor's 107.1.
The morning bright and still has laid a frost across the hill, and the glory of it takes my breath away. The bird song in the trees, floating on the ghost of a breeze, says you're lucky to be a creature alive today. The rosy fingered dawn is changing color in the east, like in ancient days we'll never see again. Once we were together, that I do remember, all the rest is like a letter in the rain. So I go to check my snares, see what not caught unawares. I take the path along the creek again. In the garden of delight, a snake slithered into sight. So we left Eden and headed for the plain. Day by day and night by night, she didn't leave my side. Now she never wants to see my face again. Once we spoke in love's low tongue, as all the bells at midnight rung. All the rest is like a letter in the rain. There's a river somewhere up around the bend. When it hurts, that river's always been my friend. Frost has gone now from the hill, like a vision in a dream. You never know when glory will come again. I remember her dark stare and a braid of nut brown hair. All the rest is just a letter in the rain.
Called Letter in the Rain, new music from Paul Kelly from the album Life is Fine. Not exactly from the album, actually live in Studio A2 on Ann Arbor's 107.1.
Yes, and I forgot to introduce Vicar and Linda Bull, who are singing with me and on tour with me and sang on the record.
I was just about to do that, so welcome both to Linda and Vicar. Pleasure to have you here as well. And another fine track from you in this very long recording career of yours. You started releasing albums back in 1981, 22 studio albums in, 53 singles, soundtrack contributions, and it just seems like you've been more prolific in the last few years than you had in recent years. Why all of a sudden are you releasing two albums a year, it seems like? What's going on over there?
I think one thing that's happened in the last five years is I've started putting poems to music as well as writing my own songs. So that's given me a little key to another way to write songs. And like last year, for instance, I mentioned we did some Shakespeare sonnets put to music. So that's sort of kind of extended and widened what I do. And I just do things that appeal to me as they come along. And yeah, sometimes records come out in a bit of a rush and a cluster, and other times I'll have a little break for a while.
Well, I'm not saying this to say make it sound like you're old, but people your age generally aren't as prolific as you've been lately. It seems like people your age slow down and release records fewer and fewer in between. So for you, this has got to be a cool way to kind of, you know, continue your career, as a lot of folks that started out with their first albums in 1981 aren't even in the music industry anymore. So
yeah, it's sort of my main job, and still like it.
I hope so.
I have a lot of good collaborators. I think the other answer to that question is collaborating with other people helps you to write songs or come up with music that you wouldn't have done by yourself. And I collaborate, you know, a fair bit with other people as well. So I think all writers fall into their own habits and patterns, and it's good to find ways to break those patterns. So that's what I'm always trying to do.
I see on this new record, Bill Miller is a co-writer on several of the songs. I'm not familiar with him. Is he somebody I should know?
Unless you're in Australia in the 70s and listen to the pop radio, you might not know him. He was in a band called The Ferrets, and they had probably one big hit called Don't Fall in Love.
Okay.
He's an old friend, but we've only started recently writing songs together, and he's one of those guys who's a complete pop encyclopedia of music from 60s and 70s. So we often just get together to play songs for fun, and every now and then we end up writing one. So yeah, he's a great guy to play around with.
You also co-wrote, I'm using air quotes, which people can't see in the air, with Roy Orbison on a song on this record as well, because you borrowed a little bit of his music, right? Tell me about that one.
Yeah, again, that was a song with Bill Miller and I, and this is exactly what happened. We were sitting around playing Lear, the original Roy Orbison song, and that was it was a hit in Australia. I'm not sure of other parts of the world, but
yeah, not here.
It was a B-side, and a Melbourne DJ, I think, flipped it round and started playing it, and so it did very well in Australia. I remember it making a big impression on me as a kid. It's very unusual musically, and it's got a great story to it. The young man diving for a pearl, the one he loves, Lear, but he's never going to win her, it seems. At the end of the song, he's drowning, and then he wakes up, and it's all a dream. But he wakes up, he's sad because he knows he'll never be with Lear. Well, Bill and I decided to continue the story and have him get rescued from being drowned. And our song starts with him on the beach, gasping for air. We used the original chorus, the melody. We put different chords to it. So, of course, we had to negotiate with Roy's estate, which we did.
Good idea. Better than getting sued, right?
Exactly. And that's all that we worked that out. And so now, you know, Bill and I have a co-write with Roy Orbison, which we're pretty chuffed about, actually.
I bet. Mm-hmm. Bet. Well, that's a really interesting concept for writing a song, is to take somebody else's song and finish the story that they started. I bet other people will take that idea if it hasn't been done already and run with it, because at this point we're running out of... I mean, how many different ways can you arrange chords and not sound like you're stealing from another song? Music has been, you know, being written for so many years. Plagiarism is kind of almost easy to do without even trying to do it, because something has already been written that sounds like it. If somebody really wants to make it sound like another song, you're going to get sued. But I hope it doesn't ever come to that.
Yeah, it has been around. That thing's been around a long time. The sort of the answer songs, you know.
Yeah.
You know, you ain't nothing but a hound dog. And then a few weeks later, someone comes out with, you ain't nothing but a bear cat.
Exactly.
So those kind of answering call and response type things have been around a long time.
Let's back up a little bit. Your family has a history with some beautiful vocals. Apparently, your grandfather was a baritone opera singer. Did this influence you as a person, as a young person? Did you know your grandfather growing up?
No, he died when my mother was 10, so I never met him.
Yeah, okay.
He was an opera singer. He was Italian, came out to Australia during World War I, and was giving singing lessons. And one of his students was my future grandmother, Annie McFarlane, and they ended up forming an opera company in Australia in the 20s. And performing all over the place. So they're more of an indirect influence, I suppose, because my mother there was very musical. And so there's always music in the house. We, my siblings and I, there's eight of us, we all had music lessons as kids, and most of the others in the family play some music. So, yeah, I guess I don't really have an operatic singing
no.
style.
No, you don't.
But my grandmother lived to an old age, and so I knew her very well. And she was, she didn't like, when I first started singing, she didn't like my voice very much, and she told me I wasn't producing it properly. So she gave me some help with breathing and diaphragm and getting the voice up in the head.
Yeah.
And she also gave me some of the best advice I've ever had for nerves, which I still use today, which is, if you're nervous before going on, just find somewhere quiet and take some deep breaths.
Good advice. Mm-hmm. Would you like to do another song from this album, Life is Fine?
Yes, we'll do, I believe it's one of the ones that you would like us to sing, and I think we can manage this without the band.
Okay.
This is Josephina.
All right, Paul Kelly's in Studio A2, brought to you with support from Bank of Ann Arbor on Ann Arbor's 107.1.
Won't you come out and play, Josephine? I missed you all yesterday, Josephine. Tell your boss you need the afternoon off to go and visit a sick friend. You know it wouldn't be a lie, not at all untrue, 'cause I'm down with a fever for you. I love your sweet hip shake thing, Josephina. The out of tune way you sing, Josephina. I love the light and dark inside your eyes and the ways of your laughter. I love your sudden clutch that says, oh baby, put on a brave, just before your body starts to shake. To the market I'll go, Josephina. Buy some fresh fish for us both, Josephina. I'm gonna cook you up a red hot meal. We'll eat it on the veranda. And later on we'll play some old sweet and ragged tunes and dance under the light of the moon. I'll get a job really soon, Josephina. I know that's what you want me to do, Josephina. I save my money and I'll buy an old car. We'll head on up to the islands. I hear they're taking lots of people on all summer long. And when it's over, we'll keep moving along. Won't you come over here, Josephina? This old world is good when you're near, Josephina. I know some people say you should be away. I'm a ne'er-do-well time waster. But I know your mother likes me and I like her too. Oh, she's a spitting image of you. Won't you come out and play, Josephina? I missed you all yesterday, Josephina. I love the way that you sway, Josephina.
Paul Kelly's a bit lovesick in Studio A2 for Josephina on Ann Arbor's 107.1, joined by Linda and Vika Bull on background vocals and hand claps. I was quietly hand clapping, but my mic wasn't
good,
on. That's a fun song. I like that one. Thank you so much for doing that one for me today. You've been collaborating a lot with other folks. There's that whole album where you basically enlisted other vocalists to come and join you. The Soul record, which I have right here, is called
Soul
the
Sessions, Merciful.
Yeah. What inspired that? Because it seems like, you know, as a songwriter, you kind of want to sing your own songs. Are you writing songs with other people in mind as you're doing this kind of a project?
I've always liked writing for other people. I write a lot of songs from a woman's point of view, so I'm always trying to get women to sing them. It's fun, I guess. I don't know why. A lot of my songs, I think, are character-driven. A way of writing songs for me is to imagine someone in a situation and see what happens. So there were some local singers in Melbourne that I really admired, Clary Brown and Kira Peru, and Dan Sultan, who's I've worked with on and off over the last 10 years, a beautiful singer. And Dan actually grew up, Vic and Linda were like his aunt, so
okay.
I just thought it was an idea of sort of doing a family record and getting together and like all singing songs together, but in a keeping it within a certain aesthetic or style. So we got the one band together, which is the band that played on this record as well, and just decided to share the vocals around. Seemed like people do think it's a bit unusual, but it seems pretty normal to me.
Well, collaborations are a good way to kind of, you know, refresh your brain, I guess, you know, get some ideas from other folks. This Charlie Owen record that you did a few years ago, Death's Dateless Night, that's a really nice, really cool collaborative record. And then you recorded a live record with Neil Finn, which I really enjoy because I'm a big fan of Crowded House and his work with Split Enz and the whole career he's had, solo work and everything. Do you have like a wish list of folks you haven't worked with yet? Because it seems like if I looked at your catalog, you've worked with Casey Chambers, who I love. I think Bill Chambers probably too. There's got to be a wish list, right? Some of you haven't done yet.
I don't know. I haven't really thought about that. I just sort of take things as they come. I mean, a lot of this, it's not like you think I have to do this and you go out and do it. A lot of these things happen through circumstance or an invitation to do something. You think, oh yeah, that'd be fun to do. Neil Finn and I did a tour around Australia in 2013. And that was a sort of another family type band because he had his son playing drums,
yeah.
William, Elroy, right? I had my nephew Dan playing guitar. So that was a great fun tour, digging into Neil's songs. We took turns singing each other's songs and we harmonised and did duets as well. So it wasn't just you sing some songs and I sing some songs. We sort of really got dug into each other's music, and digging into Neil's songs was a real great lesson, I think. You know, his songs sound so effortless when you hear them, but once you work out the machinery of them, there's beautiful little intricate parts, and so that was a great experience. Then, of course, we recorded the shows, and that became a record.
And you recorded one of his songs for a tribute album to his songs as well, one of my favorite Crowded House songs, and why am I drawing a blank on it, but it's sort of a collaborative effort there as well.
Into Temptation.
That's right.
Love that song.
Yeah, so it's nice that for folks, again, the American audience for some reason doesn't know Paul Kelly as well as the Australian audience, but people know Crowded House, Neil Finn, and it's nice that this kind of a record that I'm holding in my hand, again, radio, that's not very good to have a prop in radio, but this is a good way for people to find out about you because you're working with somebody they do know and like, oh, wow, this is cool. So it's a good idea, good marketing.
My very first tour of the States was with Crowded House in 1987, so we got back a fair way.
I think I saw that tour. Is that there was this debut album? No, that was 86. Oh, anyway, I got a chance to see them on their first tour of America.
Yeah, when Don't Dream It's Over was just breaking as a hit.
I might have actually saw you back then because I saw that tour. I happened to go to the rock club down the road from where I worked to see the show. I loved it. It was so great. But anyway, we're not here to talk about them. We're talking about you. We could get sidetracked to talk about music a lot over the thing. But another thing I noticed is that you had a documentary made about you. And as a private person, that must have been a little, I don't know that I would like a documentary made about me. How did you go through that experience? How did that work for you, the whole being the focus of a documentary? How did you feel?
I think I was ready for it by then. I think because I wrote a book, which was a memoir in 2010, and that came out. And then the filmmakers approached me and said, we'd like to do a documentary. And they wanted to take a lot of cues from the book. We had a few talks, meetings beforehand. And then I felt they were good filmmakers and good people. So I said, okay, go ahead. And I think once you decide to let someone make a doco on you, you just have to hand it over and let them do what they want. I certainly didn't want to start controlling it in any way. I think a documentary that's controlled by the subject is not really a true documentary.
No.
So I just said, you can talk to whoever you want and cut the story however you want. They were actually very good. They kept coming back to me and showing me. They showed me some rough cuts and they also, because I recorded a lot of music, apart from finding archival stuff and talking to people. They also, over the course of a year and a half, filmed quite a few performances. So they were very considerate about making sure that I was happy with the mixes of the music and cutting the music stuff together. So I was involved to that extent, but otherwise it's their film, and I watched it once, and once was enough for me. I mean,
you lived it.
The film's not for me, it's for other people.
Right. Did that experience lead to any of the songs on this new record, Life is Fine? Any of the songs come from kind of having your life put under the glass, so to speak?
No, I can't think of anything direct. But, I mean, I had opened myself up to it by writing a memoir. I mean, and again, again with that, I started writing. It was an unintentional memoir in a way. I started writing notes about songs and telling stories through song lyrics, and I realized I was writing a memoir. And once you, again, it's a matter of genre. If you think, oh, this book is a memoir, you have to be pretty frank and put things on the table. Otherwise, a guarded memoir, again, is a failed book. So I sort of slowly by degrees put myself in that spot where I was probably showing myself more than I usually do.
Well, the new album is, I believe, your 22nd studio record, Life is Fine. Let's do another song from that, if you don't mind, before I let you go about your day. What would you like to do to close the session out?
We'll do a song called Firewood and Candles, another one I wrote with Bill Miller.
All right. This is Paul Kelly in Studio A2 on Ann Arbor's 107.1.
Pretty rockin' version on the record, but we've got a little acoustic version we've put together. Firewood and candles on a winter Friday night, waiting for my sweetheart, I want to set the scene just right. Wine in the bottle, paella cooking in the pan, the Elvis on the stereo, I'm a man with a plan. Firewood and candles giving off a lovely light, and when she knocks upon my door, I hope she's got an appetite. We're gonna shut out the world, forget about the TV news. Firewood and candles, tonight they're gonna see us through. We're gonna talk a little, we're gonna kiss a little, and then some more, a whole lot more. I'm gonna show her I love her, below and above her and a whole lot more. Firewood and candles, making shadows on the wall. Is that the gods come to earth or a mule kicking in our stall? Making all these memories forever gonna keep us warm. Firewood and candles disappear in the storm. Oh, we talk a little, we kiss a little, and then some more, a whole lot more. Oh, she knows I love her, below and above her, and a whole lot more. Firewood and candles, firewood and candles, firewood and candles, firewood and candles.
It's called Firewood and Candles. Paul Kelly in Studio A2, joined by Lika and Linda and Vika Bull. I got my letters moved around there. You know,
not the first time.
Yeah.
No, mom does it all the time.
Really? Oh, if your mom can't get it right. That's from the album Life is Fine. At least there's a version of that on Life is Fine. As you mentioned, it's a little bit more rockin'. Yeah. And I really appreciate the three of you coming in and performing songs from this. What an honor to have you in our studios today, Paul.
Our pleasure. It's been fun.
One final note of distinction, because, you know, I just have to really emphasize how special this is. Paul was recently appointed as an Officer of the Order of Australia this year. So congratulations to that. Your distinguished service to the performing arts and to the promotion of the national identity. Your contributions as a singer, songwriter, and musician. So what an honor that must be for you to be recognized that way.
Thank you. It's an honor. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you very much.
All right. We'll return to the Acoustic Brunch in just a couple of minutes on 107.1.